Thank you and good morning. The question that I want us to look at today is the most important question that can engage the mind of man, and that is, what must I do to be saved? Now, the salvation under consideration here is the salvation from sin. The angel said to Joseph concerning the birth of Jesus, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, verse 21. Well, what does it mean to be saved from sin? Well, one who is in sin, guilty of sin, is separated from God. Read Isaiah 59, verse 2. The Bible tells us that God is perfect, holy, sinless. It is impossible for him to allow man with the guilt of sin upon him to live in his presence and have fellowship with him. If man dies in his sins, then he will be separated from God for all eternity. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Well, this is the ultimate consequence of sin, eternal death, eternal separation from God in hell. And so, to be saved from sin is to be saved from hell, to be saved from an eternal separation from God. We can see then why this question, what must I do to be saved, is a very important question and deserves our undivided attention. Well, first of all, I must realize I am a sinner and in need of salvation. No one will seek salvation from sin if he does not believe that he is guilty of sin and thereby separated from God. The fact is, all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, sin is lawlessness or transgression of God's law. Read 1 John 3 and verse 4. When we break God's law, we commit sin, and we all have done that, and therefore we are all in need of salvation from sin. And secondly, I must realize I cannot save myself. Only God can save me. We do not have the power, the strength to save ourselves from sin. Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." There is nothing man can do whereby he earns his salvation. He is without strength. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." No one can boast of his salvation because he does not earn it. Salvation is a gift of God. We are saved by the death of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to Christians, reminding them of how salvation is made possible, said, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that is, on the cross. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Since Christ was sinless, God accepted his death on the cross as payment for the penalty for our sins. This makes it possible for God to forgive us and yet maintain his holiness and justice. I must realize that I cannot save myself from sin. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. You see, salvation from sin is a gift from God, procured by the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, even though salvation from sin is a gift of God, I must realize there is something I must do to receive the gift. It is important to understand that a gift can be conditional. Even God's gifts are conditional. For example, God told Joshua that he had given the city of Jericho into their hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Joshua 6 and verse 2. But in order for them to receive this gift, God told Joshua to march around the city. When they did what God said, God gave them the city. Read Joshua 6 verses 2 through 21. They did not earn the city by their obedience. They did not deserve it. You see, it was a gift of God by His grace. It was a gift, but their receiving of the gift was conditional. Also in John chapter 9, we read of Jesus healing a man who had been born blind. Jesus spits on the ground and makes clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He then tells the blind man to go, wash in the pool of Siloam. The text says, so he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, the blind man received a gift from God by God's grace. He did not earn it, nor did he deserve it. It was a gift. But the receiving of the gift was conditional. He was told to wash in the pool of Siloam. When he met the condition, he received the gift. Well, salvation from sin is a gift of God by His grace. But there is still something I must do to receive that gift. It is interesting that whenever the question, what must I do to be saved, is asked in the Bible, the answer is always something to be done. When the Jews on the day of Pentecost asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter answered by giving them something to do. Read Acts 2, verses 37 and 38. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They told him something to do. Acts 16, verses 30 through 34. Obedience is required to be saved. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. You see, only those who come to Christ and obey Him will be saved. And so the gift of salvation is conditional. Well, what must I do? Well, first of all, I must meet the condition of faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 verse 31. And so one must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died for our sins, that He was raised from the dead, and that He ascended and is now sitting at the right hand of God, reigning as King over His kingdom. One must believe in Jesus. One must trust Him as Lord and Savior. Now, there are many today who believe that one is saved the moment he believes in his heart. They believe that salvation is by faith alone. But the Bible teaches that saving faith is a faith that must be demonstrated. If it is a saving faith, it is a faith with works. It is a faith that will show itself in obedience. James says in James 2 and verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith without works save a man, James is saying? And the answer is no. Faith without works cannot save a man. In verse 24, he says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. The only time in Scripture where the phrase faith only is found is here in this passage. And James says that justification, which means being free from the guilt of sin, is not by faith only. Yes, we're justified by faith, but it is a faith that demonstrates itself in obedience. Therefore, one with saving faith will then do the following. You see, we are also commanded to repent of sin to be saved. Peter said in Acts 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, repentance is a change of mind. It is a turning away from all sin to God. Paul preached that the people should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Acts 26, verse 20. True repentance toward God is preceded by godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. And it will result in a change of behavior, that is, the works befitting repentance. And so, a liar who repents will stop lying. A thief who repents will stop stealing. An adulterer who repents will stop committing adultery. Repentance is genuinely turning away from all sin and committing one's life to Jesus Christ, in whom he has put his faith. The Bible also teaches that we must confess our faith in Christ in order to be saved. Paul says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so just believing in Jesus is not enough. We must repent of our sins and confess him. But the Bible also teaches that the penitent believer must be baptized for the remission of his sins. In Acts 2 and verse 37, we read of some Jews who were cut to the heart because they had just learned that the Jesus they had crucified some days earlier was truly Lord and Christ. They asked, "What must we do?" Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now notice, repentance and baptism are for the remission of sins. That is, into or in order to the remission of sins. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22 and verse 16. For Saul to have his sins washed away, he had to be baptized. Now, baptism is an immersion in water. Read Acts 8, verses 34 to 39. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says that baptism now saves us. And so when the penitent believer is baptized, he does not earn his salvation. He is just complying with the condition that God has given in order to receive the gift of salvation. Just as the blind man received his divine gift of healing when he washed in the pool of Siloam, so we receive the gift of salvation when we believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, and are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. But in order to be saved eternally, we must remain faithful. Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5 that Christians are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. As long as we walk by faith, we have God's power to protect us. But if we walk out of that stockade of faith, we are vulnerable and Satan will devour us. The Hebrew writer says to Christians in Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Well, the question we have asked today is, what must I do to be saved from sin? We have learned that we must realize that we are sinners and in need of salvation. We must also realize that we cannot save ourselves, but rather we are saved by the death of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift from God. But we also learn that even though we cannot save ourselves, there is still something we must do to receive the gift of salvation. We must believe in Jesus that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is Lord. And we must repent of our sins and turn to Jesus. We must confess our faith in Christ, and we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we must remain faithful in our service to Christ. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, why not come to Christ today and render obedience to his gospel?